Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Happy Hour Report. I'm DJ Ash Jeffs.
And I'm DJ T Tuffs.
And this week we're coming to you with special guest Twan from At Bingo with Twan.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into our interview with the one or the Twan and only. Yeah, fans, calm down. We'll be talking about the Super Bowl controversy, Bell Let's Talk, and a little bit of how to get involved on campus and how to take care of your mental wellness on campus. So let's get right into it. So I'm not the biggest sports fan. Anyone here watch football?
No.
Hard pass. Yeah, I'm not the one to ask.
Like, if I go to a game, I'm, like, so into it. Like, I went to go see an Argos game this summer. We actually won. It was great. But overall, not the biggest football fan. But, you know, we're here for the controversy. So I've looked up some information about the Super Bowl. And so Time Magazine writes a little bit about the controversy involving Colin Kaepernick and how that's influencing this year's halftime show for the NFL Super Bowl. So the magazine writes, in 2016, then quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick chose to not stand during the national anthem during a game as a form of peaceful protest against systemic racism and police brutality towards people of color in the United States. He said that I'm not going to stand up to show pride and a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. And that's what Kaepernick told the NFL media of his decision to remain seated during the national anthem. Kaepernick also said, to me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the streets and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. So many Americans, including, you know, Donald Trump himself, found these peaceful methods of protest to be disrespectful to veterans and the military. Trump even went as far as blaming an alleged drop in viewership on players not standing for the flag. The article actually goes on to say the protest intensified after the NFL announced in 2018 that they would be instituting a new policy that requires all players to stand during the national anthem or opt to stay in the locker room during the anthem, which was later put on hold after NFL players, the NFL Players Union filed a grievance against it. And after leaving the 49ers in 2017 for free agency, Kaepernick has not been signed to another NFL team, which many believe is due to his activism. So his civil rights activism, I'm talking about Kaepernick still, became the center of another controversy in September of 2018 when he became the new face of Nike's Just Do It campaign, despite the fact that the sportswear giant is a major sponsor of the NFL. So the ad that was released with Kaepernick's face on it did say, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, which is a pretty powerful message.
I have
message.
Goosebumps right now.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that is really someone who stands behind what they say. So kind of flash forward to this year, the Super Bowl will be held in Atlanta, Georgia, which is arguably the hip hop center of America. So that really sounds like it should be the recipe for an amazing halftime show, considering that hip hop has surpassed rock as the most popular genre in the U.S. It's taking place in a city with so many, like, so much of hip hop royalty, so much of, like, a wonderful hip hop scene. Like, the culture there is just, like, amazing. I love it. But unfortunately, the NFL is struggling to find hip hop artists to perform at the event, meaning that halftime might not be as lit as we were all hoping.
It's been downhill ever since Beyonce, don't at me.
Fair point. But, like, let's be real, the halftime show is the main reason any of us
would watch it.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I watch it.
Yeah. That and the hors d'oeuvres, you know. I attend the parties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have attended the parties in the past.
The hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. So, the hors d'oeuvres. So, the NFL has opted to book Maroon 5, the pop group from Los Angeles. So, as might be expected, booking a primarily white music group is one of the most prominent black cities in the country, which is known for its contributions to black art and music and culture, is kind of adding to the tension of the NFL versus, like, Black Lives Matter and, like, civil rights movements that are going on right now, social justice movements that are going on right now. So this was also like taking into consideration how many artists they've asked in the past. Jay-Z even wrote, so like there's a lack of willingness for other artists to work for the NFL or work with the NFL. And it can be summed up in a bar from Jay-Z on the Carters 2018 song Ape Shit, where he raps, "I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me. I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too." Fire line.
Love that.
So that bar supports rumors that Jay turned down an offer to perform at the 2018 Super Bowl as a show of solidarity with Kaepernick. In the music video for the song, there's also like images of black men kneeling. So while he raps that line, so I'm like, it's pretty blunt that he said that.
We can put two and two together.
Yeah, we're logical people.
We're not geniuses, but we hear.
We're smart enough.
Enough,
yes.
Say goodbye, barely.
Cardi B also is known to have worked with Maroon 5, Girls Like You.
Yeah, it's a good one.
She has stated that she doesn't want to get involved with this, and she does not want to support the NFL because of how they've treated Kaepernick, or that she won't, like, perform at the halftime show, because I believe she did a Pepsi ad. I'm not completely sure.
I'm pretty sure she did.
But she won't be performing with Maroon 5 as a sign of solidarity with Kaepernick. But other artists, such as Travis Scott and Big Boi from Outkast, will be performing in this year's Super Bowl, regardless of the pushback from their fans and the flack from influential public black figures like Reverend Al Sharpton. And then on the flip side, there's also some, you know, there's always got to be someone to sing the national anthem. So the Empress of Soul, Gladys Knight, will be performing the national anthem. And Chloe and Halle, the Atlanta-born duo that Beyonce kind of discovered, will be performing America the Beautiful. So I know that's a lot of, like, controversy there. It's kind of, like, deep-seated and kind of pitting sports culture versus social justice movements versus, like, I don't know. There's
versus
a lot of
corporations. And yeah. What kind of role they have.
So what are your thoughts on this? Is it wrong for Gladys Knight to perform as a black woman? Is it wrong for Chloe and Halle to perform as black women? Is it wrong for Travis Scott to perform? Should we not judge them? But I must say, Travis Scott did state that the NFL needs to make, like, a donation that matches the same size donation that he makes of, like, $500,000 to an organization that supports social justice.
Okay.
But, and Gladys Knight also kind of was like, I've done my role. Like, I've been a part of the social justice movement, civil rights, since the 60s. Like, she has really done a lot for the black community. And she says that the national anthem needs to be seen separately from the halftime show. Because she, kind of along the lines that, like, she's worked really hard to get to a point in her life. And it's pretty amazing that a black woman is able to sing the national anthem at this. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this.
Yes. I mean, I feel like as a white person, I have, like, no grounds to tell any, like, black person whether they should or should not perform at the Super Bowl, because that's obviously a very individualistic experience, such as, like, what you said about Gladys Knight. However, I myself will not watch the Super Bowl. Not that it's, like, a huge sacrifice for me, because, again, I don't give two shits about football, but I do support, like, Colin Kaepernick, and I think what he's doing is really, really inspiring and amazing, because he, like, basically left behind his career, his income, all these things to, like, be a voice of his people. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that, because it's easy enough to say stuff or, like, donate some money, but to, like, give up your everything to a cause that you believe in is, like, that speaks to me.
That's
deeply,
super amazing.
So I will stand with him, so to speak, or kneel with him, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but, no, I will choose to support him in this way, so.
Now, as a white woman, how do you feel about Maroon 5 playing? Because a lot of fans are saying, like, they're starting, like, GoFundMe saying, like, don't, or change.org petition saying, like, don't perform at the Super Bowl. Where would a GoFundMe money go? Like, to Maroon 5 instead of performing?
They're like, oh, okay, now that I have this fat stack of cash, I guess I don't need that. Like, I don't think they really need the money, but.
Yeah, change.org. I want to throw that out there, not GoFundMe. But yeah, how do you feel about that? And do you feel like it is something you want to speak to? Or do you feel like that's something, once again, you can't? Because it's.
I mean, I don't know where Maroon 5's coming from. Like, obviously, I'm sure there are plenty of people who will be watching the Super Bowl and will, like, be very, like, present in this halftime show. If it were me, I wouldn't. But, again, I'm not in that position to make, like, I don't.
Yeah.
I risk nothing by not watching the Super Bowl. So, I have, like, my voice is fairly small in all this. So, I mean, yeah, if I were them, I would not. But I also... like, I don't know. I don't know where they stand on things. I don't think they're particularly political from... I mean, I don't know. I would not have a clue what Adam Levine's thoughts, because face it, Maroon 5 is Adam Levine. What any of their...
Looks like Jagger.
What any of their thoughts would be on the matter, so...
Yeah. So, what do you think? Will you be tuning in? Or it's okay to say you will, it's okay to say you won't?
I don't think I will. I don't think... there's a reason to anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think the excitement of the halftime show is kind of gone because they've kind of, you know, they've missed their opportunity.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway that I think is really important is the distinction between the national anthem and the halftime show. Those are completely different things. One is the national anthem and one is just an entertainment, you know, money pump. So I think they're very different. So that's, like, a good distinction to make. I think the difficulty is, like, at the end of the day, it's the best business decision for Maroon 5.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's crappy to say, but it's true.
Money is money.
Any publicity is good publicity for them, and, like, they've got nothing to lose.
I wouldn't say they've said anything, like, particularly problematic, so it's not, like, they're, like, attacking it from a, like, an opposition standpoint, as far as I know, so
no,
I don't really think they have... White men don't have anything to lose. What a surprise.
No, it's such a safe bet to have them come in. I think it's very neutral. I think it's very... I don't think it's going to be a spectacular performance by any means. I don't think it's going to be one... I don't think it's going to be like a Lady Gaga or a Beyonce kind of show.
Yeah.
I think... Oh, those are so good.
So good. Iconic.
But I think, like, I see where Maroon 5 is coming from because I don't think they have, like, a political stake in it. I don't think it... Not that it doesn't matter to them, like, I don't want to say what matters to them and what doesn't, but I can't see them prioritizing that, like, at the end
of the
day.
I think even their fan base, I wouldn't think would be particularly, like, shook.
What is the Maroon 5 fan base?
I don't know, I would assume.
Literally everyone, though. Like, if a Maroon 5 song comes on, like, me every single weekend bumping Sunday morning, I'm like, Sunday morning.
Every time I'm, like, the least bit, like, sad, She Will Be Loved, I'm, like, crying. For, like, no, it can be, like, oh, I... dropped a pierogi on the floor and I'll still cry. Like, it's like literally any inconvenience, I will cry.
I mean, I would cry if I dropped a pierogi. I'd still eat it, but I'd cry about it. Like,
yeah, true. Why am I acting like that's a minor inconvenience?
I know, that's a major
potatoes.
And dough.
Yeah.
Typically fried.
But yeah, anyway.
Personally, I think I completely agree with, like, distinguishing the difference between Gladys Knight singing the national anthem and the halftime show. It took me, like, a little bit. Like, I had to digest this and, like, think about it. But, like, she is such a strong, like, black figure in American pop culture. And she also has stated that she does stand with Colin Kaepernick. And I think that it's important to have, to start off the game with something that is a reminder of how far America's come, how far America has to go. And, like, having someone that is as, like, wonderfully talented and symbolic and strong and black as Gladys Knight, I think it will be a kind of reminder to everyone watching that there is a legacy to this event that we need to be paying attention to. It's a difficult situation. I mean, I don't know if I'll be tuning in or not. I'm not intentionally going to be, so.
I think one of the challenges, though, is, like, as you said, Taryn, like, Gladys feels that on an individual level, and, like, everyone interprets those things on individual levels, but I think we all perceive change and movements on, like, such a larger scale that, like, I think people are going to view what Gladys is doing as kind of a setback to what Colin has been doing.
Yeah.
But, like, when you listen to what Gladys has to say about it, it's her own individual experiences, and you can't judge those, you can't critique those. Like, those are valid points that she's making, but at the same time, it's kind of complicated in that, like, when people from the outside looking in are looking at the social movement, they're going to be like, well, not everyone's on board, so it's not effective, and it doesn't matter. And I think, like, we take things on a personal level, but we see things on the large scale, and they never go hand in hand. Yeah. So I think that's, social movements as a whole, I think that's a huge problem.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be cynical, but I think, like, people will find a way to attack Black people, especially women, regardless of what they do. So whether she did it, whether she doesn't do it,
yeah,
it's I feel absolutely. Like she's going to catch some type of hands or hate, regardless of what she does. So I think her doing what's best for her and what she believes is the best thing she can do, because regardless, people are going to be miserable idiots. You're right. So totally like right. she should, I support her.
The Super Bowl has been a political event. Like when Beyonce did the halftime show, like that would be when we were in first year.
So.
That was like the first time that Beyonce was being political, like the whole Black Panther resembling outfits, like the X, like just everything that she did was such a political move. And she took that platform at a time in history when it was, she like monopolized on that moment and she like made something political out of it. So it's not like we haven't had this kind of messaging at the Super Bowl in the past. It's
it's just what you do with it, I suppose. So.
And then Katy Perry rides it on like
on a shark.
Really? Like,
left shark.
Yeah, left shark happens, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, what's going on?
They're like, we forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Inconsistent across the years.
Yeah. Well, regardless of whether we watch or not, this is going to be a political event this year, and I'm interested to hear, to see what
comes of it. I'll be on Twitter that day. Yeah. Whether I'm watching or not, I'll be on Twitter. I'll be scrolling.
Yes.
Got a lot to look at, a lot to read.
Yeah.
I feel like my stance is going to come back to bite me because I got invited to a potluck. And I'm letting it go for my beliefs.
Look at you, Colin Kaepernick.
the budget Colin Kaepernick. Not even close, actually. Not even close at all.
Love that.
We'll miss the potluck, but...
No buffalo dip for you.
Oh, maybe my goodness, I'll make it though. For myself. Oh, so good.
Do we want to have our own anti-Super Bowl party?
Can we?
That's really fun. I like that
Can
idea.
Can we? Tweet at our report if you want to catch an invite to our
anti-Super Bowl potluck party. We'll eat all the iconic Super Bowl foods. I like hot dogs.
The appetizers are not the underlying issue here. We can still do that.
No, we can still celebrate appetizers. There's no issue in those.
We can rock a buffalo dip without having to be compromising our values. Well,
I love it.
Talking about more things that are kind of difficult for the Black community, actor Jesse Smollett of the hit TV show Empire was verbally and physically attacked with a rope around his neck. Yeah, so this kind of came out in the last, let me look at the, I have a CBC article because, yesterday. This article came out yesterday, so it's really new. So it cites that Empire creators Lee Daniels and Danny Strong, along with the studio behind the TV series, are expressing outrage over an attack against cast member Jesse Smollett in Chicago overnight. It states that, their statement says, we are deeply saddened and outraged to learn that a member of our Empire family, Jesse Smollett, was viciously attacked last night. We send our love to Jesse, who is resilient and strong, and we will work with law enforcement to bring these perpetrators to justice. So that is the statement that 20th Century Fox issued on Tuesday. The article does go on to say the entire studio, network, and production stands united in the face of any despicable act of violence and hate, and especially against one of our own. So to summarize, the attack was physical. A noose was tied around his neck. I believe you told me that you heard.
I read that they poured bleach on him as well. So that, like, oh, it's just so disturbing.
Absolutely horrific.
Like, beyond.
And homophobic and racist slurs against him.
Yeah.
And then I think you also said something about MAGA hats, potentially?
I heard on Twitter, or read on Twitter, I guess, that they were yelling, like, MAGA Nation or something along these lines. So it's just, like...
Eye rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't even know anymore, like, what is going on in this world. And, like, I read another thing that was saying, and I really agree, that if this is happening to somebody who's more, like, prominent and has, like, a kind of celebrity status attached to him, like, what does this mean for, like...
Everyday,
regular people living in these circumstances. Yeah, so for, like, the
1%, if this is happening, like, what's happened to the other 99?
Yeah, like, what about other people of color in the LGBTQ community? Like, imagine the kind of things that they must be feeling and experiencing. It's just a very... And I really feel for them.
Even the way we write about this and talk about it in the media, the title of the article that I have been reading from the CBC states, Empire actor Jussie Smollett attacked in suspected hate crime.
Oh, how is this suspected? Oh, there was God. A noose. That is the most racist thing I have ever.
Yeah.
Because it's screaming.
So, I mean, this kind of in contrast or in comparison or in similarity to the backlash against kneeling during the national anthem for the football, just kind of the treatment of people of color in society. Like, we can't just say because we're Canada, we're better. We're not.
No, absolutely not.
We treat Indigenous people like crap. We treat refugees like crap. We treat people of color like crap. We constantly ask where they're really from. So, I mean, we're not much better. But I think this does come at a time where it's a lot of... there's been polarization for quite some time, but especially in the days leading up to the Super Bowl, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it seems all too connected in some ways.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, in one of my classes yesterday, we were talking about the media and their reporting on, like, black versus white, and how, like, it's so polarizingly opposite, and how when you listen to, like, suspected hate crime.
Like, I can't even deal with that. Of course, it's a hate crime. There's no doubt about that at all.
And it's just so interesting, the use of those words. And then, like, even we were talking about, like, the whole Ted Bundy phenomenon, which, like, we're not going to go on that tangent because how much time you got. and how he's, like, a white man, and how, like, the whole story and the whole glamorization of Ted Bundy and even of Jeffrey Dahmer because he's white is so different, because, like, there's so many, like, serial killer recap docuseries films and Netflix series coming out, and they're also glamorized because, like, you can get Zac Efron to play him.
And yeah, when that happens, I was wondering this. Like, do you think this almost is, like, glorifying to these people that they're, like, they have all this media attention and they get movies based on them? Like, I think if you're somebody who is in a state of mind where they're able to kill people, that, like, perhaps this is, like, almost inspiring.
That gets to your head, yeah.
More so than it is, like, and informative, I think.
It definitely is despicable how much glorification
and is it because they're white, all of, like, pretty much all of them.
It's interesting how, like, white, like, murderers get some more grace than black victims.
They get to be like this,
and, like, even Colin Kaepernick's career, he has been victimized by his political affiliations, and, like, Jussie has been victim because of who he is, and yet we're still creating these films for these people who have murdered, but we can't, like, give the time to these people to speak or to
grow.
Where's
the Colin documentary?
Honestly.
Yeah. Like, where's
honestly.
It's so mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Back to what you were saying about, which one? What's the tapes? Ted Bundy tapes.
Yeah.
And how they have Zac Efron in that. I was actually hearing, I've been, like, kind of getting a lot of opinions from different places about this one, and the reason that they have Zac Efron and the reason that they're giving so much, like, making it seem like such a frenzy is because that's how people were treating it at the time, is that, like, they were, like, in a fan frenzy. And I was like, wow. But it's interesting, like, when someone is an attractive man, we're like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's,
well,
like,
if you watch the Netflix series You... You watched
I haven't watched it yet.
Well,
but
I haven't, but, like, people on Twitter are like, hard eyes.
And quick rundown. There's this guy who's, like, meets this girl at a bookstore, and, like, within seconds, because he worked there, and then he was able to, like, see her credit card, get her name, also knew everything about her, like, her address, you know, internet stuff.
Oh.
And, like, he, like, stalked her and then, like, is, like, falling in love with her, but, like, kills anyone in the way, essentially.
Oh, wow. You heard it here first. Don't read books.
Yeah, buying books gets you.
Bookstores are a no. Get a Kindle.
Yeah, this is our personal opinions. No, I'm just kidding. I love books, love paperbacks.
Yeah,
I cannot read on a Kindle.
Support
your bookstores. I'm sorry. That was a bad joke.
But check
books
the basement.
Great.
Check the basement.
Oh my gosh.
But the man, like,
let a woman run through your credit card. Do not.
He's an attractive man. And, like, people just kind of, like, fantasize over him a little bit, and that's so uncomfortable.
Even the actor himself was like, y'all, this is
not
right.
Yeah, he started,
like
tweeting,
stop,
like,
it.
Oh, my God, it's so weird.
Oh.
But, like, there's a reason they're cast as white people. There's a reason they are. Like, it's just, that's what society is kind of, like, deemed as the thing that you can get away with it. Because, like...
Being a hot white dude. Oh, man, I can't do any of that.
You can't go and kill people. Oh, damn it.
But, yeah. No.
And, like, Tanya, I know we kind of went off topic a little bit there.
No,
like,
that's okay. This always happens.
Okay, good.
It's, like, a beautiful thing.
It's just
beautiful
go with thing. The flow.
I just think it's, like, really problematic in terms of the media portrayal of it. I mean, the act itself... Like, vicious, heartbreaking, terrifying, like, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's portrayed, because I didn't read the article, so learning, like, 4 minutes ago that that's how CBC decided they were going to talk about it, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, like, fuming.
And like, CBC is so boring and, like, lame, like, in a good way.
Call it what it is. Call it what it is. Make it... But like spicy news, call it what it is.
And I'm like, I do have some love for CBC.
No, I that's what I mean. Like, I used to CBC just like giving you the facts, and they're not like trying to make it fancy because it's that's why like you listen to it and it's like, okay, this like at first you're like kind of boring, but you're like, no, this is pretty much informed. I kind of like CBC.
Yeah, really. I'm a big fan, and I mean, it just goes to show our societal inherent kind of biases that we use words like suspected hate crime, but. I do understand where they're coming from, like, because it's still being
investigated.
Right.
There's got to be a better, like, way to phrase that, though, I would think. Like,
yeah.
Like, hate crime under investigation or something. So it's, like, calling it what it is, but saying, like, you don't have all the details at the same time, which, like, clearly it's a hate crime, but...
I mean, the article was really informative. It, like, gave the bare bones, like, everything else. It was just that one placement of that one word. But, I mean...
But it really comes down to little things like that that make such a difference. And, like, I don't know how much you can plead ignorance to being like, oh, no, we were just, like, we didn't know. Like, we were busy getting the story out. We didn't really care too much about the headline.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, things like that matter. And, like, there should be someone along the process. Like, how many people do you think read an article before it makes it to press?
Yeah.
Someone there should have caught that.
Words are powerful.
Words are very powerful. Yeah. I mean,
what you do or don't say.
I'm sitting here being like, with a word spelled wrong in the title of every paper I've ever submitted. But okay, well, that sounds like it's about time for our first break. So a little bit of Queen, I Want to Break Free. Hello and welcome back to the Happy Hour Report.
Hello.
Yeah, we're still here with at Bingo with Twan. So what day is it today?
Well, according to my hat on my head, which no one can see, it's Bella Talk Day.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sure most of our listeners know what Bella Talk Day is. I have some friends in the States that I've actually told about it. And so Bella Talk Day is a day where Bell raises money for basically mental health. And so each time you tweet using Bell Let's Talk or watch their video, Bell will donate 5 cents. That's on Twitter. On Facebook, each time you use Bell Let's Talk Facebook frame or watch their video, 5 cents. Instagram, when you watch the video, 5 cents. Snapchat, when you send a Snapchat using the Bell Let's Talk filter, which I've been doing all day.
All day.
5 cents. And then text messages and I believe... long distance calls for Bell people that have Bell users. Service, Bell users, yes. Sorry, the words just escaped me. So Bell Let's Talk has been going on since 2010, and since the initiative began, more than 93.4 million has been donated to mental health initiatives across Canada with the company.
How much million?
93.4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of millions.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that number.
Yeah, with the company expected to surpass 100 million today. That's pretty good.
That's very exciting.
I'm curious to know, like, what percentage of their overall... I don't know any business words because I'm an arts, but... like, their overall monies, how much of that is, like...
goes towards...
Like, how much is that for them? Like, is that, like...
is that, like, pennies?
Giving $5 to someone to buy a donut, or is that, like...
me giving $10 because both are a lot right now.
My finances are a little...
Well, I feel like there's a lot of corporate sponsorship, too. Like, I feel like there's a lot of names behind it, supporting it, and I think a lot of money comes from there. I don't think Bell writes a flat check for $100 million, and it's like, here you go. Like, I don't think it comes straight out of their pocket, the whole 100% of what they're donating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but the focus remains on eradicating stigma and, as a society, getting to a place where mental health is treated just like physical health. That was said by Mary Deacon, Bell Let's Talk chair. Cool. So that's cool. Do you have any personal opinions? Like, how do you usually celebrate Bell Let's Talk? Do you feel any conflicted emotions, or are you just like so for it? I mean, we've been able to see it over the past nine years. I can't believe it.
Really? Yeah. I can believe that, like, when I think about. Like, oh, wow.
I feel like it really blew up in the last five. Uh-huh. Like, that's
well, it blew up with social media. Like, yeah. I don't think.
Twitter Once they brought the Snapchat filter and everything in, like, I remember it was just Twitter and texts to Bell, but now that they've incorporated these other platforms, I think it's, like, very in your face in a good way, I guess.
I remember, like, the first time it really stood out to me, the Olympic figure skater and cyclist.
Oh, yeah.
Clara Keyes. Oh, my. Have you read her book?
I haven't read her book.
Her book is so good. My mom got it, and I read it, and it's literally, I read it in a day. It's so good.
Once again, we love reading here. It was a joke before the break that we don't
support your local bookstores. Cannot stress that enough.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that's, like, my first memory of it, and she sounds like an inspirational person.
Really, really cool book. She, like, talked about, like, her whole experience, like, as an Olympian, and then, like, really, like, from when she first went professional in athletics, which is, like, at, like, the age of, like, 14 or 16 or something really young.
Oh, my gosh. I was and only then, like, professional pain in the ass at 14.
I'm still only a professional pain in the ass. And, like, from that point on, like, following her entire journey as an Olympian, as someone, like, and then where her mental health played into all of that, her personal life, her professional life, like, just really a cool overarching story of her life. And, like, it wasn't the story about her mental health. It's where mental health played into her life.
Oh, okay, that's good.
If that makes sense.
It's something she dealt with, but it isn't her exclusively.
Exactly, and they talked a lot about, like, her successes and her high points and her low points as an athlete and in her personal life.
Being an athlete is so difficult, especially, like, a young athlete, because there's so much pressure to, like, perform to a certain standard, and, like, life happens. Sometimes you just cannot.
And this girl's in two Olympics. She does summer and winter. So, like, she finishes her winter, and then 2 years later, she has to be ready for summer, where most athletes get a 4-year break between all of their Olympics.
So, yeah, you can take, like, 2 weeks to chill, but she's like,
no, she goes right back to biking, or she goes right back onto the ice, which is, like, so phenomenal. That's insane. She's a really, really inspirational person. Really, really good book. I don't know what it's called. But I enjoyed reading it.
Has she retired since? In the past couple of years?
Or as an athlete, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, she hasn't retired as a good gal. Keep it up, Claire.
She's not the face of Bell Let's Talk anymore.
No, she's not.
I think the only consistent person that stayed in there is, like, Howie Mandel. Right, like, he's been there since day one. And he's still in this year's video. He's there every year.
I haven't watched the video yet.
Yeah.
So I literally this morning I was on hold for an hour, like, taking care of some administrative duties. And I just let it cycle as I'm on hold. I would just watch it. Like, I have it memorized.
I might just, like, let it go.
If you're, like, in the shower, let the video cycle. That's 5 cents every time, and it's a 30-second video.
Tuan, you're, like, your own personal assistant. The way you described that, it was like I was on hold, so I was
administrative tasks.
Wow. I need to talk about myself. Like that. Self-talk is so important.
Yeah, honestly, self-talk, self-love, it's all about self.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, so I think Bell Let's Talk is really awesome. It can be a really difficult day. So for those of you that are listening that might see some things that could be triggering or potentially like harmful for you, just make sure that you have those people that you can reach out to. If not, there are tons of of hotlines you can reach out to. And I think Bell Let's Talk Day is good because it has helped start the conversation. And I think over the past couple of years, the conversation has shifted from let's have Bell Let's Talk Day to let's make every day a little bit more like Bell Let's Talk Day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just because we've grown up during this era. And I mean, we have the maturity to now be vulnerable with one another. But I think I have seen a difference. Maybe I just have, I'm really grateful for the support system that I have in my life. Obviously, both of you are a part of that, and, like, the friends and the, like, role models and just the family you choose that are there to support you every single day. But that's how it should be. It shouldn't just be Bell Let's Talk Day. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you were saying a little bit about how they do have to donate money.
Yeah, I ran on Twitter. I feel like everything I say is prefaced by this, but that's... It is
credible sources.
But anyways, they're saying that, like, because Bell is such a profitable company, they're automatically required to give a certain percentage of their earnings to charity.
Okay, I've heard that before.
Like, I mean, the source I'm going to say, I don't know if it's reliable from which I read this, but... At the same time, I think, like you said, it's helped us all kind of start talking about it. So regardless of what their motivations is, I think it's done a good job in terms of how we relate to one another and how we talk about this. Like, the money aside, the controversies aside, I do think at the end of the day it's been a good thing. And if it makes people feel better and makes us all feel, like, more connected to each other, then I don't think everything is necessarily worth picking apart for...
Yeah.
Motivational, like how they're motivated. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't think
they could have chosen anything for their money if they have to donate it. And I think 9 years ago, that's almost a decade ago, like this was not a conversation that was being had as often. And I think it's been a really beautiful thing to see in society. And with kind of how everything's become much more polarized in the past, like half of the decade, it's really nice to see that we take one day to care for one another.
Yeah, it's a really scary place out there, and I think taking a little time to see something like this that's positive makes people feel good. There's really nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and it definitely makes people feel less alone. It is kind of, I always worry for people that share so openly, because I'm always, like, there's always that one person that, like, doesn't get it yet. You know what I mean? That sees it and doesn't get it. And I'm just, like, want to protect people from that person. But, I mean, there's so many more people that get it. There's so many more people that care. And, like, if you are in a place where you want to share your story, you should be more than welcome to share your story. So I think it's a good day for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To take it as you need it and participate to the extent that you feel comfortable with. So.
Yeah. Like, today I was in, I always go to the AC, like, the athletic complex, on Bella's Fuck Day, because I have the big cards that you fill out, inspirational words. That's where you get that.
I've never been to the AC, as you can clearly tell, only for exams. I'm not fit.
So what I love is, like, it's just a big wall where it's like a little speech bubbles, and you write whatever you want to write on it, and then they plaster the wall, like, top to bottom. Like, all the glass when you enter the AC is completely full of these, like, motivational words.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's, like, really, really cool and special. And then, like, everyone takes pictures with their signs. Like, I posted one on Instagram today. I posted one last year. And they're just, like, really, like, motivating words, really encouraging words. Some of them are very simple. They're, like, I am listening. And this year I wrote, be kind to one another, which is, like, one of my favorite expressions of all time.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, really cool to see just, like, the impact. And then, like, my Facebook timeline today, everyone is updating their profile picture, and it's just, like, really, like, a good positive reinforcement to see, like, everyone from every end of my life doing that. On Instagram, like, I was going through my stories, and it was, like, everybody was sharing that video. And it's kind of cool to see, like, how much of an impact it has and, like, how much everyone cares about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember who said it right now, and I really wish I could, but someone said that, like, social justice is what love looks like in public. And I think that Bell Let's Talk Day is definitely what love looks like in public. So it's very, like, refreshing to see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I like about it, it's not corporate. Like, it's Bell. Bell puts her name on it, but they've never once tried to sell me their product for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been, like, a stipulation. Everyone can get involved whether you're a Bell user or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really, really cool about it. Like, you just have to have a Twitter account or an Instagram or Facebook. You just have to be on social media. It has nothing to do with them. I've never once, like, thought differently about Bell and been like, oh, I'm gonna go with them. Like, I still have I don't have Bell as a service provider. And, like, the only thing that they do is, like, oh, our service is text messages. Let's get people to talk as much as they can today with our services, and we're gonna donate money when you do that. So, like, they're not once asking you to make any changes, like, to support them corporately.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
And I'm like, look how good we are. Change your phone plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like only people with a Bell user can retweet. Like, we're only going to donate money for every Bell user. It's, we're going to donate money for anyone. Like, they don't care. I think that's really
true.
Cool. Like, they put their name on it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, take credit where credit is due. You're doing really good work. But it's kind of cool that it's not that, like, limited in terms of, like, they want your money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They never once tried to sell me anything. I get emails from Belle Let's Talk, and they're never once like, don't forget to get a TV. They're both blue. Belle and Belle Let's Talk are blue. Otherwise,
yeah,
they're not the same, which I think is really cool.
That's one great big thumbs up from the Happy Hour Report to Belle Let's Talk today.
To the luck.
So, Twan.
Back to things that make us feel good.
Yeah.
Twan.
Yeah. Surprise.
The Twan and only, the love of my life. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, tell our listeners who you are.
Oh my God, I'm everyone and no one at the same time.
Ooh, so humble.
Yeah, I'm not humble. I'm the least humble person that I've ever met. And that wasn't even a humble statement.
School, program, age, jobs. How do you keep yourself busy? What are you passionate about? What's something
you're listening to every question at once.
Yeah, I mean, answer. Just go, sauce me an answer.
Just verbal diarrhea it all out here.
I'm kind of a local celebrity. I host bingo every Tuesday night at 10.
Woop, woop.
At Wilf's.
We shout you out every week.
I know. I really appreciate it. So, in the flesh or in the ears, in your AirPods, wherever you're listening.
We're not all in business.
Yeah, sorry, I can't afford AirPods. Bingo doesn't buy the AirPods.
I'm not a part of the Lazaridi school of AirPods. Yeah.
But so Tuesday nights at Wilf's, I host bingo, so we have that new little brand coming out in a couple of days, which I'm really excited about. But that's kind of been my thing this year, which has been like really, really exciting. It's been a lot of fun. So that started in September, the second week of school, and I've since then every Tuesday I've been hosting bingo, which is really fun because a lot of people that don't go to Laurier don't get it, and they think I like work at a bingo hall where there's a bunch of like retired pensioners just sitting there like gambling their money away on bingo cards. And it's like, no, like, people pre for this. Can I say that? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But, like, you know, like, grab drinks, grab apps, come with your friends. It's not, like, a high-stakes thing. It's a free event.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun social thing to go. Like, some people go every single week.
Yeah.
We love like, such us, Twan.
Yeah. We love to go. I mean, it's so fun. You do special things with it. So there's, like, Vine Go. We've had throwback music. There's music bingo. I mean, it's really fun. If you haven't gotten a chance to go, it doesn't cost anything to go. You can buy your food there, buy your drink. I mean, there's $5 tall cans.
Cans are $10. Like, new pierogies. I know the special. Like, unless I'm off you like that.
Yeah, it's great. And Twan loves what he does, and he's really good at it. And we have a lot of fun. We heckle the hell out of you.
He does. They all do.
But I mean,
all in a day's work.
Every star needs their fan base. Okay, so how do we know each other, Twan?
Ashley was horribly obsessed with me in first year.
Oh my God, yeah.
A week 2015. Oh my God, that sounds like a million years ago.
You just aged us thick.
I know. We're thick old.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm still 15.
I'm 12. I act like it, so whatever I am on the outside is not what I am on the inside. I'm like a weird mix of like a 48-year-old man, a 78-year-old man, a 48-year-old man. And a 12-year-old.
I feel that on a real level because I'm like, I do have chili in the slow cooker at home right now.
Oh, do you?
But I'm like,
I need to break out the slow cooker. I haven't used in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Making
a couple weeks.
And that's the 48-year-old man.
Yeah. 48-year-old woman. 48-year-old yes. Mother.
Betty Crocker.
I'm Betty Crocker. I wish. Oh, a real, if you want to talk about role models.
A queen.
Black and Decker.
Yes. Okay. So.
A week, Ashley and I, we knew of each other. Like, we kind of saw this face around. We were in the same program. And we just kind of knew each other. And then it took until our house councils fought against each other.
King of the Jungle
weekend, where did we win? Yeah, we won.
I was going to lie and be change history right now.
Dubs each won. And then in my second year, when I was at Dawn and King Street, we won as King Street. So I won the 2 years in a row. It was all me. And then we met there, and we've just been friends ever since.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we were Dawns together.
Oh, do you want to go through the whole good times? History?
No, I'm just throwing things out there. And you and Taryn have a long history together.
4-H, baby.
Woo-hoo!
No, yeah, it was
I was 4-H. Cackling about that the other day. I will not discuss the words used on the radio, but trust, it's funny.
I've heard that story. About?
Oh my god, I totally forgot.
Our 4-H leaders are triggered for life.
Oh, but... that's going on the Finsta in a couple days. I forgot that I did that.
Think of what Tuan's name is. I'm just gonna.
And rhyme it with robots. Tuan robots. Tuan bots. Put it together.
Tuan just wanted god, to be the leader and name
his people. That was so embarrassing.
We're all like, woo!
Well, so oh they go god. Way back.
To like the fifth grade.
To 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Like cooking classes.
The year was 1955.
Yeah, I was in the cooking classes.
Wow, Tuan.
You did scrapbooking the other two, didn't you?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, scrapbooking 4-H. If you don't know what 4-H is,
give it the plug.
Do you remember, what's the chair game?
Shuffle your buns.
Shuffle your buns. Oh my god. I love shuffle your buns.
That's where me and Tuan became inseparable.
Yeah, when we shuffled our buns together. Shuffle your buns is exactly what you think it is.
If you want a bond, shuffle your buns.
Yeah. Getting that tattooed. Live, laugh, love, shuffle your buns. That's going to be some wall art.
Oh my goodness.
So we've known each other. We didn't go to the same elementary school or the same middle school. And then, but Taryn's a year older. So when I was in grade 9, she was in grade 10. But we've always been knowing each other.
But it's all good because I took a fifth year like an
idiot. Regrets. And then by chance, we both chose Laurier.
Yeah.
It was like I was actually destined to go to a different school. Like I had like accepted my offer elsewhere. And then I had the last minute change of heart, but like it was just like
yeah, you texted me, tell me why to go to Laurier. And I was like, do you want like the stupid answer? Like, I'm going, or do you want like me to list all the ambassador facts?
And then I changed my mind and we both ended up here, but that was like kind of a fluke. Like we didn't like talk about going to the same university. Like we like discussed how fun.
We weren't trying to be like pinkies entwined walking through the front gates or something.
Aw, yeah, that's really cute. Fun. I actually don't think I heard that, like, you weren't going to come, and then Taryn was the one that... What did you say? Did you give him the real reason, or were you just like, I'm going?
Like, I was like, oh my god, really? Like, I think I just remember being, like, kind of shook.
Well, because I kind of texted you one morning, like, the week before the deadline, and I was like, hey, like, I think I'm just going to drop everything that I had planned. I'm not going to go to Brock anymore. But I've already applied for residence picked courses to put in my, like, deposit. Like, I've done it all. I'm, like, set to go here, but I think I'm going to change my mind. And then I just did, and my mom was like, yeah, sure.
Any
and
regrets?
She knew none. None, absolutely none. And I went back to Brock a year ago for a conference, year and a half, last year. I don't know. November 2017, I was there. And I was like, yeah, no, I definitely could. Like, no tear shade to Brock. Like, it's a great school, but I was just sort of like, Laurier's, like, that's where I was supposed to go.
The homeland.
I don't know if I know anyone that loves Laurier the same way that Tuan does. And...
Well,
you've done everything, so I don't know if I can list off your things, but I'm going to start.
I just updated my LinkedIn, so you can find all of them.
Yes.
Humboldt Arts Laurier representative. Yeah. Shining star.
He was an advisor.
Waterloo Residence Council. Ran Hawk Weekend.
He was a house council advisor.
Third year.
Was on Arts Laurier. So you did everything that you could do with residents. You like were the recipient of like
the rookie of the year and then greatest contribution.
Yeah,
you did the damn thing.
He did everything.
Did the damn thing. I'm not gonna even be humble there. So they're up on my walls. You know they are.
So this year, you're actually involved with the students' union.
Yeah, I did a full 180.
Yeah, and
full 180.
And you seem to have learned so much from all of your experiences. So what can you say? I know we're like we don't have a lot of time left today.
Oh, we don't?
Unfortunately, sorry. No, that's okay. I mean, maybe we'll have to have you back again.
I'm gonna come back all the time.
But what would you say about getting involved on campus? How has it changed your life? And how would someone who's looking to get involved do so? I know it's a lot.
Getting involved is the best thing you can do for yourself. I was at the Career Center this morning. And she was like, you don't even have to go to post-grad school because you have the experiences to back it up. And I think that's, like, really cool.
Wow.
Like, you can get that experience from, like, having fun and getting involved. Like, I'm, like...
But do you want to go to post-grad school
soon? No, I'm not going to post-grad school anymore. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, wow. No, today I had, like, an epiphany this morning. It was, like, really...
We'll talk after then. Yeah.
How much tea do you have left to be? But it's, like, such a cool experience. And I think, like, the biggest thing you do is to start at one place. Because I think starting by being, like... on house council in first year, just taking, like, one little step was, like, the first thing. And, like, that led me to, like, getting to know a lot of ResLife staff, getting to love residents and the program. So that's how I became a Don. And, like, be on house council, maybe want to be house council advisor. That's what got me there in third year. And then I was able to, like, accomplish all I did. Got to meet all the right people just through all those experiences that led me to, like, getting involved with the students' union this year. So this year I'm on E-Team, so Anders coming to you tomorrow at the Turret. Buy your tickets.
Woo!
It'll be a really good show. I'm really excited about it. And then, like, I was involved with the student union elections, just made a president, for crying out loud.
Birthed him yourself.
Birthed him myself.
Yeah, you were the
multi-campus campaign manager.
Yes. Wow. What a title.
We were in Brantford, baby. We went multi-campus. Involved with Radio Laurier. Bingo. Like, I got bingo through getting involved with O-Week this year on A-Team, which happened because of the people I met in third year who pushed me to apply when I left residence. Like literally everything kind of happened for a reason.
Domino
so, like,
effect.
Just start somewhere. Because everyone's like, how do you get involved with so much? Like, I didn't plan in my first year to be involved with everything that I did and meet all the people I did in fourth year. I just started with one thing that looked cool and fun and then led me here. Just, like, start somewhere and keep your options open. Stay open-minded. And, like, as opportunities come, like, take them as they go. Because when I was offered to be, like, the bingo host, I'm like, what the hell? People want to listen to me talk for 2 hours a night?
I do.
We don't, but we go. No, I'm kidding.
No, you got your AirPods in, like, you didn't me.
Yeah, I'm like,
But, like, and then I just was like, you know what? Sure. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, fuck it. As we're friends, just say, fuck it and do it. And then, like, next thing I was going to take you somewhere else, and then somewhere else, and somewhere else. And you never know where it's going to take you. And, like, professionally, I've gotten jobs because of, like, the experiences I have. Like, I got one job with the government because, yes. like, my boss there, she was a Don in her undergrad, so she knew about that. So, like, just kind of, it gives you a lot to connect with people over. So it's, like, very, very cool. We're, like, just start somewhere.
Antoine always gives 100%.
Like, oh, yeah, this boy is not a half-asser.
I try not to. Oh, you guys are, like, really boosting me up. Like, I have a meeting tonight. So I'm going to walk in there and be like, guys, did you hear that?
Listen to my happy interview. Hour report? Were y'all listening?
Well, we did have some more that we wanted to talk about. You love RuPaul's Drag Race. And
I'm like, my Explore page on Instagram is embarrassing by how much Drag Race is on it.
And, I mean, I feel you so hard. But this season, season 11.
11.
And
holy crap.
Do you want to share with our listeners what big news just happened?
You must say it's a lot. We have our first Canadian drag queen. First drag queen from Canada. So we had some
Brooklyn Heights.
Oh my god, can we do like ASMRs?
No.
No, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna do my own show. And we're just
you should get your own show to do this.
Because you can't do it on ours.
Lauren, I'm calling Lauren right now.
Because it's our show.
And not yours. So our first Canadian drag queen, her name's Brooklyn Heights. She's from the West Coast, I believe.
She's from Etobicoke.
Yeah. No, she's not. I swear she's from the West Coast.
Yeah, but she studied ballet in Toronto.
Yeah.
She's super talented. She's Ontario raised. And she started off like with ballet and then gravitated towards drag in Toronto, like bars and nightclubs, and then ended up bouncing between like I want to say New York and Toronto, and then ended up winning Miss Continental and then landed in Nashville. And she ended up on Drag Race this season.
She's so cool. I hope she wins. First of all, she's really hot out of drag.
So yeah. Gonna,
like, do your research. Follow Brooklyn Heights on Instagram.
Brock Heights is
yeah,
their...
Brooklyn Heights. Like, first of all, clever name. But very talented, very beautiful. Has a dancer background. Like, is more than just a face. Sorry,
super
pheromone.
Sorry, Valentina.
Valentina.
Oh, I see.
No, like, really big fan of this one. I think she's going to go really far. And then Miss Vanjie is back.
Miss Vanjie.
Vanjie.
Show them cookies, baby. Whatever it is.
I love Vanjie. And I hope Vanjie makes it to the end. I don't care if she wins or not, but she's the most ridiculous person I've ever met in my life.
I want her commentary on the whole season.
I know. I want her to host. Step aside, like... Rue can stay in the middle, but I want, like, Miss Vanjie voiceover.
Yeah, like, put her on the panel beside Michelle.
Yeah,
between
with
Michelle
no,
and Carson.
She doesn't need, like...
Carson
Grizzly. she doesn't need input. Like, she doesn't have to have, like, a judge's take on things. But she's here for a good time, and I'm here to have a good time with her. Like, she's just fun. I don't, like...
We're
just laughing
at
what she does,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, laughing with her, laughing at her, doesn't matter. We're here for a good time with her.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, so we've chatted a little bit about most of the things I wanted to. I did want to give a shout out to Thrive Week at Laurier.
Yeah.
As well.
I love Thrive Week. Look at my new button. I thrive at Laurier. Got it today.
Aw, it's cute. It's
orange. It says I thrive at Laurier.
Aw. There's stuff in the concourse every day, I believe. There's on tomorrow, there's free Group X classes all day, free Throwback Thursday class in Studio 2 from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., free yoga in Studio 4 from 7:45 to 8:45 p.m., and on Friday, there's Freshy Juices and Energy Bites in the AC lobby from 10 a.m. and a.m. to 1 p.m.
Maybe this is the time to go to the AC for my first time.
Or Freshy Juices. I'm free Friday. Yeah. See what it says.
Yeah. I mean, I'm diggity down, but so there's lots going on campus. Twan is like a spokesperson for getting involved on campus.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you pick, we love to do our 36 questions that lead to love because, well, we love you and we want everyone who listens to our show to also love you. Oh. So can you give us two numbers between 1 and 36?
Okay, 19. Okay, 4 and 19 because my birthday is 0419. Don't forget. Okay. Don't forget, listener.
What would constitute a perfect day for you?
Day or date?
Day. D-A-Y.
Day. Okay, I need all my friends.
Aw.
But like, just kind of like get to do everything. Spend a lot of time outside. Like
I love hikes.
Hiking, kayaking. But like all seriousness, like those things I would love to do on a perfect day. Get spend some like time outside breathing, maybe in the mountains. I don't know. Like if we're gonna be really particular, I'd love to be in the mountains.
Wearing Birkenstocks specifically.
Wearing Birkenstocks. Birkenstocks only. With a pan pizza from Domino's, Alfredo sauce, extra cheese. I might get that for dinner actually. That sounds really good right now. And just, like, good company. I think good company is the biggest thing. Good company, good food, and, like, maybe get drunk at the end of the night.
On beer? Cider? Vodka crayons? It is the happy hour report.
Okay. Pineapple vodkas from Bingaman's. If you haven't gone to Bingaman's and gone to pineapple vodka, go. It's so good.
And our next question, because I'm disgusted. Just kidding. It's probably really good.
It's really good. It's pineapple juice and vodka.
At Bingaman's, like the bowling lounge?
Like I was there a couple weeks ago and we were ordering.
Oh, I wonder for what?
We were ordering pineapple vodkas and they were delicious. But I'm a beer person. I really like cider. I like cheap girls and I don't wine. Actually,
so you see him at the bar, you send him a beer, a cider, a pineapple vodka.
Pineapple vodka, whiskey sour, but not the ones from Chainsaw. Can I say that?
You can say whatever you... I mean, don't say whatever you want. These are our personal beliefs here at the Happy Hour Report and do not reflect the views and beliefs of Laurier or Radio Laurier. Okay, number 19. If you... Oh, this is sad. Okay.
Oh, don't make a happy question then. I don't want sad questions.
Okay, pick another... Pick...
21.
21?
69.
That's not an option you...
I'll change it.
What rules... What roles do love and affection play in your life?
Okay, next question. I'm not going down that route.
Okay.
I'm lonely. Lonely.
Okay, pick a number an earlier half.
Oh, yeah, because I probably started...
Number two, would you like to be famous in what way?
I already am famous. I'm the biggest host I was. I'm a local celebrity. Dealing with fame is hard. I can't believe you decided you're going to bring me on the show and ask me that question.
How dare we?
Like, I feel no ways about being famous. I just want to be happy in what I'm doing. And if, like, that gives me a lot of attention, I'll eat it right up. But, like, I don't think I'm going to, like... I'm not going to actively look for fame and attention.
But it finds me.
But it finds me.
You don't need to look, honey. You got it.
I'm right here. No, like, I don't see, like...
So reality TV is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, X on the Beach. The Challenge.
Oh, God.
Big Brother Can.
You'd be great at Big Brother.
Cast him.
No, I'd be way too loud. I'd be
you'd be bad at it, but, like, you'd be a...
I'd be a fan favorite, absolutely, but I would be really bad. I'd be like, I'd literally make an alliance with every single person, except I'd pick one person that I would just hate and just, like, go all out.
Kind of dark-sided, Twan. Oh.
Well, on that dark note...
Dark note.
Stop ASMRing on our show. We forbid it.
I need food. Next time I'm bringing food to just, like, nibble on.
That's
honeycomb.
Honeycomb, that's a good one.
Well, it sounds like we'll have to have Tuan back in a few weeks' time.
Oh, I can't come next week?
I mean, we do have a guest booked for next week. We're professionals.
Oh, honey, you got to get in these emails. Time ago.
Yeah, we went 2 weeks ahead of time. I know. This is a first. Usually we're like,
I was a last minute book then because you booked me within less than a week. You booked me after the elections.
I mean, I didn't.
You only wanted me once you knew I was going to be a winner.
Honey, I've been talking to you about this since the day we started this show.
Oh, I know. But like, we didn't set a date until like less than a week.
Because I was like, I can't ask him in the first 2 weeks. He's doing election stuff. I respect your schedule. Yeah, but I would
have been able to promo.
I would have talked to your personal assistant, but they don't exist.
I am my personal assistant, honey. I'm the client.
Please hold. Yes. Switch his hands.
I'm going to say please hold so I can go to the bathroom. Well, please hold as I connect you to the client and then leave.
Well, that's all for the happy hour report this week. We'll leave you with our words of advice. First, let's hit it with Taryn. Words of advice for this week.
I just have to freestyle words.
Take some time for yourselves, everyone. Watch some TV, take a bath, sleep. Maybe don't take a bath if you live in student housing.
I don't have a bath. But
you know what I mean. Just take some time for yourself. One. It's that time of year where things are starting to get stressful. And don't let it take a toll on your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Tuan?
I'm going to repeat what I wrote on my little card today in the AC. Be kind to one another. A little smile or like reaching out to someone, texting them, just letting them know that you're glad they're there. I think it makes a world of difference, and a little kindness goes a long way. And don't underestimate the impact of a little good deed. So be kind to one another.
Yeah.
And aww. Ashley, how about you?
Find the what makes you happy and what makes you fulfilled, and just let that take over your life, and wonderful things will happen. Mm. And whatever good comes your way, make sure to send it someone else's way. So have goodness poured into you, but also pour it out into other people.
Yeah.
Well, aww. That's a wrap
this
on
this week. This is cute. See y'all next week. I'm taking over.
I'm DJ Ash Jeffs.
And I'm DJ T-Tubbs.
And I'm at Bingo with Tuan every Tuesday at 10 at Wolves.
Alrighty. Take care. Have a good week from the Happy Hour Report.
Bye.